Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Endangered Orphans of Condyle Cove. And I have some of the masterminds behind the game. I have Jesse and Opie with me today. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Sorry, You're not feeling very good?
He heard you address me as the mastermind, and then he felt a little left out.
I said masterminds. You know, I included.
Right, it should have been singular.
That's right. All right. Opie, Jesse, why don't you guys tell people who you guys are? Maybe about talk about Certifiable Studios a little bit, and we'll go from there. So, Opie, since you felt bad, let's start with you first.
All right. I am Opie Cooper. I'm Jesse LaVey's lifelong friend. I've been friends since kindergarten, and when he used to be a really good artist, and he's only gotten better since then, and he keeps me around because he needs someone to listen to his ideas. Did I leave anything out, Jesse? Or
no, I'm just one man with a dream, a simple man. No, he's right. We've been powwowing around together since, I think he's the very first person that ever had got to stay the night at somebody's house. You know, that was like a really big deal back then. And from that young age, it was, you know, just playing games and, you know, being kids and living these, you know, these, fantasy worlds, creating fantasy worlds and whatnot. And we've been doing it since then. We've only just now got the knack of actually doing it for real. It took us 40 years, but we did it.
There you go. That's awesome. That's awesome that you guys have been friends for such a long time, and now you're going on this grand adventure of creating games together.
Yeah. No one used the word friends.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
We've been acquaintances.
you tolerate each other long enough to do a project.
Right. It just seemed like the logical next move. We worked together and done things where we've dreamed bigger than, you know, the reality of it. And this was, I guess, kind of our first chance to do something on our own to see, you know, how far we could push it. And if by saying that, I don't mean the success of the Kickstarter, because that we wanted a successful project in that we would see it through. The Kickstarter's success is just a huge added benefit to what we were expecting or what we were hoping. So this is definitely really new territory for us as well.
That's exciting. Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the success of the Kickstarter. But to talk about Endangered Orphans of Condyle Cove, why don't you tell the listeners what it is, what kind of gameplay they can expect and when they play the game?
Go ahead, Coop, and then I'll just correct you.
Endangered Orphans of Condyle Cove is a hybrid card game, board game. It's your modular type of board game. We use the cards to create the game board, and it creates the cove. The cove has various different spaces, and each space has got a special attribute it gives to your orphan when it's hiding in that spot. And then each orphan is given a deck of option cards. And the goal of the game is to keep your orphan from running out of options, because if they do, the boogeyman will come and get the orphan and eat them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's not nice at all. What kind of person are you? You're a horrible person.
In what world are you on? That's a good thing.
Oh, all right, right.
You know, Jesse and I have always had this rule that when we think up something, we're going to, you know, there's that creative aspect of there are no bad ideas, and whatever you come up with, just run with it. And so Jesse's like, well, what if we have these orphans? And I love it. And they're endangered. Oh, I love it. Throwback to all of our favorite movies, Something Wicked This Way Comes, Escape from Wicked Mountain, you know, and the Goonies, the kids, and, you know, these are, well, the Goonies didn't have orphans, but I love everything.
Kids in Peril.
Yeah. It was Kids on an Adventure, yeah.
So we wanted to take that to the next level. And he's like, yeah, and then if they get caught, they'd be eaten. I was like, well, yeah, let's go. Oh, no, wait. It's too late. It's out there now. We couldn't take it back. and so, you know, that's why everyone asks us why it's a four-player game, is because, you know, at a three-player game, every time you play, two orphans will be eaten. There's nothing we can do about it. So we you know, we didn't want to make it a four-player game because then, you know, three orphans would be eaten or something. I'm not good with math, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Once we realized what we had done, it kind of all went downhill from there. Right, Labe?
I would say so. Downhill, uphill, it's all the same. The point is we're moving. But yeah, the idea had originated from an old idea I had, and it was just more doable. So I was able to carry over the characters and the idea to skin the mechanics with the endangered orphans. And it was a really good moment for me because I realized that something I'd started years ago, I could finally see it through, through this project. So, and I'm glad he brought it up, the 3-player/4-player aspect. When I designed it, I sat down to design a 4-player game, but I was dealing with a sheet of 54 cards. So once I had established how the mechanic worked, it just was a really solid game for 2 to 3 players. Because I get that question a lot. Why didn't you make it 4 players? I made it 4 players. It just, the fourth player was just weak to the point that I said, you know what, it's a 2 to 3 player game. But fortunately, we've since added that fourth player option. So I'm real happy with, like I said, where everything's at right now with it as far as the, mainly, like I said, to be able to see an idea. It's just something very gratifying about starting something and then eventually finding yourself putting a period on it.
Definitely. And one thing I just have to say, that one thing that definitely drew me to your guys' Kickstarter and your campaign is just the overall feel that you're going for the game. Like, everything's sad, everything's depressing. And I love how you have all these quotes from actual game reviewers that are just talking about how awful the game is. And, you know, and I just loved how you kept with that theme, just going through, like, this is not a happy game. You know, you're orphans trying not to die, basically. And so I love that. The concept was very fun, and just being able to continue to go with it. You guys kept with the theme and everything, and I love the aspect that you went forward on it. So talking about the game a little bit more, so the generally it's a 2 to 3 player game, and the mechanics of it is just to create the board with cards and create options for your characters. How long does the game usually last?
Well, we've had it, we've had real short games, depending on if somebody wants to dabble in the boogeyman's house, you know, take too many risks. It can go pretty quick, or I think Cooper and I play pretty heavy-handed with strategy because we know the ins and outs of the games. So we've had them last maybe 20-30 minutes. But you know, it's so hard to tell. We've heard people say, "Oh, we played a 45-minute game." I've heard people say 5-minute game. I would say it averages. I'm comfortable saying 20-25 minutes.
Okay, that's it. So yeah, it's a good quick game to be able to sit down with a couple of your friends and play that before you jump into the big 3-hour long game on your gaming nights. So no, yeah, good warm up game. But let's talk about the Kickstarter. You guys, as of right now, we're talking. You guys still have 9 days left to go on the Kickstarter. You're reaching the very end. It's set to end on October 6th. But you guys are like crazy successfully funded, so you know that's a happy aspect of it instead of being all sad. And as we're talking, I've even seen it go up and up. You know, you guys are now over the 200,000 point.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. You guys just about 2 minutes ago got it, and
wow,
and you guys have crazy. You know, over 4,000 backers now. I think that's a more of a big accomplishment rather than the money side of things, because you know a lot of the you know other games that I have seen can make that money, but they only have like maybe only 1,000 or less backers. But you guys have almost 4,500 backers. That's a crazy amount to be able to have. Obviously, people see what great game this can be. So my question is, of course, congratulations on everything and your success. But there are people that listen to the show that are people that want to create their own games and put it on Kickstarter. What did you guys do to be able to have such a big following right off the bat? I mean,
well, let me tell you, I got to give this to Cooper. The game and the art, the mechanic, that's me. and that'll take you so far. I gotta 100% give him all the credit outside of that for the campaign, the followers we have.
He's the marketing guy, huh?
Oh, it's truly beyond marketing. It's, you know, marketing gets it out there and it keeps your numbers. He's turned it into a community. It's really, really exciting for me to watch grow, and, you know, nervous for me to be part of that when, you know, I felt like, you know, the game will never be as great as our campaign page is. Like, the people that are on it, it's a lot of pressure. You know, I made a fun game. I didn't make a $200,000 game, I promise you. And, you know, but Opia's, he has just nailed it on this Kickstarter. I mean, absolutely nailed it. That, you know, I never in a million years thought, you know, would have thought it would have ended up where it is.
No, I agree with you on the aspect of nailing a Kickstarter. You know, this show only, you know, associates with Kickstarters. And so I've seen, you know, various different levels, but you know, the your Kickstarter page and everything. And like I said, just the theme and everything you're going for, that draws to people. People notice those things. And, you know, a lot of people say don't judge a book by its cover. But a lot in the aspect of Kickstarter, it's you judge a Kickstarter on the aspect of how well they put their page and everything together. Because that's all you really have to go off of. And so you guys obviously, you know, Cooper, that, you know, you did a fantastic job to be able to bring this to the masses, so to speak.
Well, first of all, thank you, Jesse. That's nice of you. And Jesse has always been ridiculously modest. And that's the thing. That's our relations are back and forth, and he's just so good at what he does. And I'm so good at faking what I do, and it usually works out for the duo of us. Several different things I want to mention, but so I'm going to try to stay succinct here, but I will probably fail horribly, Barry, so you can go back. But we both back other games. We've both been on Kickstarter supporters. This is our first game, and this is what really blows my mind about how many people are coming and having a good time with us and our numbers as a whole is just that we are completely untested.
Yes.
They don't know who we are. We've never done anything before.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. I mean, to have your starting game be so successful is a phenomenal feat.
We can only fail from here.
That's right. It's only right. Downhill from here.
We just made the Citizen Kane of games, and it was all
nice.
So first of all, if anyone is listening who has already backed a game, we say it all the time. We can't thank them enough. We know what a huge risk this is. They don't know if we're going to be able to deliver. They don't, you know, we put out there some of our credentials, and if they look up who we are and things that we've done in the past, they'll see that we've had those successes. But in this world, they don't know us from Adam, and so it's a big risk. And that alone, Jesse and I and our other partner Rick, who make no mistake is an equal part of making this work out. We feel the pressure, and that's all we really want to do is just make sure we deliver the game. They get it. They get what we promised them, and everyone is happy because we hope to move on from this.
Definitely.
And do our best. Jesse is a game making machine. I am not kidding. He just this game very quickly. The three of us said we're going to start this company. We're going to kickstart this game. We had a specific game we were waiting for. And it's a fairly complicated mechanic. And one day Jesse comes in and says, I got this other idea for a game. I might try it out. We say, okay. He comes back what seems like, two or three months later, and it's done. And the game that we demoed that day is pretty much the game that you're buying now. And it's just amazing how quickly you can put those things together. So
that's awesome.
Well, that's the fear is, you know, we launched this first because A, it was done. B, it's manageable. It's a bunch of cards. You know, at the time, all it was cards. So that's like one of these horrifying moments for me that not saying that this wasn't a passion project. This was a fun project, but I've got those passion projects that I did this one first to get a feel for it. And it's just, I know how it's going to work. I'm going to stick on the one that I'm all excited about, and that's going to four people are going to back it. And I'm like, man, I just felt like the only place we could go from here is down. So
there you
I'm
go.
Trying to enjoy it as much as possible.
So
just in case.
You guys mentioned, that you're going to deliver this game, and we know it's going to happen. You guys are already successfully funded. So when the Kickstarter ends on October 6th, when's the tentative plan to have the game out to the backers?
Well, we can tell you that whatever. Quick, Jesse, hang up. end of January is what we are telling people, with the hope that we can get everything ahead of time. We wanted to say December because, you know, holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
Christmas.
Theoretically, it could have been possible, but it's we are very, very much believers in, you know, under promise, over deliver rather than the other way around, which is, again, we back Kickstarters and we have several times.
You know how it works sometimes. And that's something that we talk about on the show a lot, is that a lot of people, they're starting to go to that format where, well, we set the date at this time so we can give ourselves a little leeway. If that's, you know, it's almost like a worst case scenario, it will come to you on this date. But we feel confident that it could come to you sooner. And I've seen a lot of that. So that, like you said, that way you're not over promising a time and then all of a sudden you're not delivering. Because we understand with making games and manufacturing and shipping and everything, you can run into, you know, a snafu here and there. And, you know, I think people are getting a little bit better idea that sometimes that happens, and people are going to be a little bit more lenient with that. But so I think it's smart that you're planning the aspect of, oh, well, we're shooting for January, but if we could get it in December in your hands for, like, Christmas, that would be awesome.
Right. This entire campaign is a great example of failing forward. If this is one piece of advice I would give to people starting there, it is we launched this as a test. We did the number one cardinal sin, I'm to understand you should not do, is we did zero promotion. I am not just saying that to make it sound cool because we did well. I am telling you, right, Jesse? We did.
No, we launched it early. We launched it early because, like Rick extended it. We had, it was like, what, 45 day, you know, instead of 30, and we did that because, okay, we'll launch it 2 weeks early, you know, the soft launch, not tell anybody about it, and as it goes, we'll start grabbing people. And we ended up funding like the first 6 to 8 hours, whatever it was, on our first day. We were thinking we were going to fund somewhere in that 2 weeks.
We literally thought it would take us 2 weeks to get to $4,000 because it should have.
Well, that's insane.
Yeah, we did nothing. We were 100%
true. I swear to you. We did no promotion. We did nothing.
The BGG.
Yeah,
we didn't. We didn't have how-to videos. We didn't promote it on any gaming sites. We were supposed to do that in the 2 weeks.
We didn't have a single stretch goal figured out. Not one stretch goal figured out because, and this, the biggest challenge was keeping up with this one, Barry, has been because, you know, these numbers keep falling. And so people are like, oh, you know, you have to do stretch goals. And we're like, yeah, you're right. We have to do stretch goals. But Jesse had already made a very sound game. He had a few surprises up his sleeve. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's not a secret. What most people do is they create the whole game. And then they scale away products from it, you know, that they're going to release as they hit dollars. But, you know, they're not making this up as they go. They've got these games that they know will work mechanically with the game. And we didn't have a lot of those. Jesse had some up his sleeve, but he hadn't had a chance to put them together yet. And all of a sudden, you know, we're like, we put these five stretch goals up and they're gone in less than two weeks. And you know, our backers are awesome, but they're also, you know, they're Kickstarter game backers. They want stretch goals.
They want more. They want to be able to get those perks rather than, you know, that the retail people aren't going to get.
Right.
Exactly. And we get that. Of course we get that. But that's the thing, though, is it also hits that point where if we add anything else, we're not going to be able to make
exactly.
We're not going to be able to.
Well, I think it's totally fine to have a point where you're like, okay, guys, we've reached this point. We're not going to have any more stretch goals because if we do, we're not going to be able to deliver this game to you guys.
We've reached that point, I feel like, a week ago.
There you go.
We actually have launched. In fact, when we hang up with you, I'm going, Jesse and I are getting together and we're putting the final touches on because we need to release it right now.
Yeah.
We have just started what we believe. We haven't checked all of them, but I don't think this is ever done before. Starting today, we begin the first ever in Kickstarter history anti-stretch goals.
There you go.
what we're calling them.
Which would be appropriate for the theme of, you know, everything sad and depressing. So I think that would be
at this point,
really clever.
Just, saying, stop, we're done. Honestly, we're done.
If you keep funding us, we're going to stop doing things.
Yeah, it's like, don't make me go get the belt.
That's right. That's funny. Well, guys, I know you're extremely busy, and I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come on the show today to tell the listeners, tell a little bit more people about Endangered Orphans. And it looks awesome, and it looks exciting, and obviously a lot of people want to get their hands on it. I mean, I'm watching it right now. You've got a couple more backers already since the last time we mentioned it. But just so people know where they can find out more about you guys, why don't you say tell people where they can find out more about Certifiable Studios and maybe anywhere else they could find more about Endangered Orphans.
Well, we've been so busy doing this, we haven't had a really chance to figure out who we are as a studio yet. Now, if you were to go to certifiablestudios.com, that will take you to the Kickstarter page. So just type in certifiablestudios.com, and it'll link you over there. We obviously we have our site and all of our information coming up soon, but it's just the three of us, so we have not put a lot of focus in, like, you know, the social media and our site.
Well,
and
you guys are extremely busy, but we'll definitely make sure we have links to everything so we can get people your way. Once again, guys, thanks for
your time
and good luck with the rest of the 9 days of the campaign, and good luck to all your future projects that I look forward to seeing as well.
Sounds great, man. Appreciate your time as well.
Definitely. And thanks to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. He created our intro and outro, and you can find him at thegeekallstars.com. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.